Thank you, Pastor. Isn't it great to be in church tonight? Boy, I've enjoyed this good singing, man. That just sets the atmosphere for worship. And I praise the Lord for all that He's doing for us. How many of you are being blessed of the Lord these days? Man, I sure am. And He's the only one that can bless us. That's right. And I'm so glad that the Lord has allowed me to cross paths with your pastor and Miss Regina and this great church. And certainly I've enjoyed being here these days. I want you to turn in your Bible tonight to the book of John, chapter number 13. The book of John in chapter number 13. And I'll read a few verses here and try to get to where I believe the Lord has us to be tonight. John, chapter number 13. And we do welcome all of you that are watching online. And I would encourage you to hit share, and many others could possibly get in on the blessings of the Lord that we're enjoying tonight. John chapter number 13 in your Bible, and let's look in verse number 21. The Bible says, when Jesus had thus said, He was troubled in spirit and testified and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning, notice this, leaning on Jesus' bosom, one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him, that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then, notice, lying on Jesus' breast, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Let us bow for a moment of prayer. Father, we're so thankful that you allowed us to be in church again tonight. I thank you for this good crowd that's come, and then, Lord, all those watching online. And my, you've blessed us so much. The soloist tonight, the congregational music, and then the Ollis family again. Just a blessing in this service tonight. Now, Father, you've met with us and you've helped us, but now we've opened the Bible, and Lord, without you, we're hopeless. Without you, we can do nothing. Pray you help us here a little while, I pray, in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Well, I want you to imagine tonight a table. I want you to imagine a meal. There's four characters mentioned in this short text I read tonight. There's Jesus, there's Peter, there's Judas Iscariot, and then there's John, the Apostle John. Tonight, I want to focus in a little bit on John, the Apostle, in this text, because two times in this text, something really unique is said about John. If you notice in verse 23, now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom. Well, that's John. And if you look in verse number 25, he then lying on Jesus' breast. Well, that's John. Now you'll have to say, as you visualize this table, and there sits Jesus, and there's a grown man laying his head on the chest of Jesus. Now that would be an unforgettable sight. That would be something you wouldn't forget very quickly. Well, that's the picture here. John has got his head on the chest of Jesus. You know, I wrote down some things about John. John was not a fly-by-night Christian. He was not one of these guys hanging by a thread. John, listen to some things I just jotted down. He did great things for God. He was known as the beloved John, the apostle John, the disciple that Jesus loved. John was numbered with one of the sons of thunder, along with James. He's the one in our text that laid his head on Jesus' breast. He's named in the inner circle with Peter and James. He was present at the Mount of Transfiguration and saw all that. John was there in Gethsemane when Jesus sweat blood. He's the one that recorded Jesus bearing his own cross as he made his way to Calvary. He's the one that Jesus entrusted the care of his mother to from the cross. John outran Peter to the tomb on resurrection morning. John is the only writer who mentioned a folded napkin inside the tomb. John wrote the 21 chapters of St. John, the 5 chapters of 1 John, the single chapters of 2 and 3 John. He was boiled in oil, left to die on the Isle of Patmos, and there he wrote the 22 chapters of the book of the Revelation. Now, I don't know if that sounds impressive to you, but that's very impressive to me. You know, I like to study men. I like to study the people of God that were used mightily of God. They're the ones that I got my eyes on. They're the ones that's got my attention. And when I think about all this pedigree, all this that John accomplished, I wonder what was the key? What was John's secret? What was it that caused John to be such a mighty, mighty follower of Jesus Christ? I believe the picture's clear here in chapter 13 as it's mentioned 2 times as John has his head laid on the chest of Jesus Christ. Man, this doing something for me tonight. But I want you to know something was going on. As John put his head on Jesus' chest. You know why I personally believe that John accomplished all these great things? Because here in John 13, I believe John heard something that it's not recorded that anybody else ever heard. He heard the very heartbeat of the Lord Jesus Christ. John would not be satisfied if he couldn't hear the heartbeat of the Savior. Tonight, this may be convicting. God may have to pierce our hearts deep. But I want to ask us all a question this evening and preach on this subject. Can you hear the heartbeat? Can you hear the heartbeat of Jesus Christ? I want to give you some simple things about this guy who's got his ear on the chest of Jesus. This guy that's recorded having heard the very heartbeat of the Lamb of God. And I hope the Lord will speak to us tonight. And I hope before we leave this building, we'll be just like John. Get our head on the chest of Jesus Christ to hear the very heartbeat of the Lamb of God. Well, I want to notice, first of all, John's commitment. You see, there's got to be commitment. Keep in mind, there's 2 others mentioned in this story. There's Judas Iscariot, and then there's Peter. Then there's John. Now, this is really important, and we all know this well. We cannot allow anybody to get between us and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we look at Judas, betrayer, liar, thief, evil, and wicked man that he was. We all know that if we're not careful, we'll let the wrong kind of people get between us and the Savior. You can't get your ear on Jesus' chest if you got a Judas between you and him. There's got to be commitment. You got to get past old Judas if you want to get your head on the chest of the Lamb of God. All over this country, pastors are crying out. There's such a lack of commitment anymore. It's so hard to get the members excited about serving God faithfully. Well, friends, if we're going to hear the heartbeat, there's got to be some commitment. This half-heartedness, this in-and-out business, this off-and-on business just don't cut it. God, give us some committed people that have decided to go with God and put their ear on Jesus' chest and not let any Judas Iscariot get in the way. Am I right tonight? Now, we agree firmly with that. But there's another feller here. His name's Peter. Brother Ollis, Judas represents evil. Peter represents good. I could tell you a lot of good things he's done. By the way, he still holds the record for walking on water. Peter, the outspoken Peter. But guess what, friends? We know you can't let bad people get between you and the Lord. Neither can you let good people get between you and the Lord. I thank God for all the godly influence. Your pastor is a great godly influence. Those laborers around here making things happen, a great and godly influence. First Lady, Miss Regina, hey, a great and godly influence. These singers, all of the saints that are out before us. My, thank God for each one of them. They're good for influence. They're good for us to look up to. But they can't get between us and the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, tonight, don't lose me and don't leave me in this. Because nobody, good or bad, can get between us and the Savior. We got to get past old Judas. We got to even get past old Peter and get our head on the chest of Jesus. I wonder tonight, how's your commitment? Boy, this thing of COVID-19, the China virus, boy, I'm telling you, it's been a revealing thing. Say amen. Now, let me be clear. COVID almost killed me. I'm not being critical of people that's afraid. I'm not being critical of people that are sickly or elderly and are afraid. But I tell you, there's something wrong. Did y'all hear all that clear? Let me say that clear so I can do some preaching. I am not fussing at people that are afraid. I'm not fussing at people that are sickly or elderly. But there's a crowd. You see them at Walmart, but they're afraid to come to church. Whoop, glory to God, I'm going to have a preaching spell. You see them at the restaurant, but they're afraid to come to church. You see them at the drugstore, but they're afraid to come to church. Now, friends, there's something wrong with that. You know what I believe the problem is? A lack of commitment. When me and my wife got married over 40 years ago, we didn't know much. We don't know much now. But the Lord has been good to us, and He's brought us this far. Before we took hands on that altar and made solemn vows, till death do us part, before we walked down that aisle, we determined by the grace of God that we were going to be committed, that we were going to be faithful. We didn't know a lot, but we knew we need to be faithful. We didn't miss nothing. We determined to be tithers, offering givers, faithful to the things of God. Well, 40 years later, that commitment still stands. I have no regret of giving my whole married life to commitment to the house of God and the things of God. Can the church say amen? You know, a lot of people got the church in their life. Yes, they do. A lot of people's got the church in their life. But the church is like a spoke in a wheel. That spoke's out here spinning. And the spoke is revolving around them, the hub. But what me and my young wife 40 years ago determined, we're not going to let the church be a spoke. We're going to let the church be the hub. I said, let the church be the hub. It's preaching time. And I'm here to say, friends, let everything in your life revolve around the church. Let the church be the hub. Man, I could preach all night right here, but I got to move on. John knew Peter was a good guy, but I can't let Peter get between me and the Lord. He knew Judas was a bad guy. They're finding that out these days. But he said, I sure can't let Judas. I got to make a commitment. I got to get past evil. I got to get past good. And I got to get my ear on his chest. I'll never hear his heartbeat if I don't have some commitment. Can the church say amen? Now, it's going to get worse before it gets better. Not only did John know something about commitment, John, listen carefully, John knew something about connection. I'd say everybody here, sometime or another, Brother Brad, has listened to somebody's heartbeat with your ear, not with a stethoscope. And friends, you know as well as I do, if you want to hear somebody's heartbeat, just being close is not going to get it. You can get real close to my heart with your ear, and guess what? You won't hear nothing. But if you'll make a connection, whoop, if you'll make that connection and put that ear connected to the heart of Jesus, you can hear the heartbeat of the Lamb of God. This is simple preaching, but you can only put your ear on one chest. That's it. You can't put your ear on multiple chests. You can only put your ear on one. I want my ear on the one that counts. Tonight, please listen carefully. If you and I could get our ear on the chest of Jesus, we got to be honest here. You see, there's a lot of Baptists won't get honest. And the only way to have revival is to get honest. None of us are sprouting halos and angel wings. Come on now. And God said, put no confidence in the flesh. I know great people. I feel like I know the greatest people in the world. But I don't have no confidence in the flesh. You see, when I've got my ear on the chest of Jesus. This is not hard to visualize. It's not hard to understand. But can somebody tell me, Brother Hollis, which way's my other ear pointed? The opposite direction. This ear hears the heartbeat, but this ear's pointed that way, and it hears all the temptations and all the lures and all the voices of this world that would try to get us disconnected. For in tonight, if we'll get our ear on his chest like we ought to, the very heartbeat of Jesus will overpower all those sounds over there. And if we start to pull away, His heartbeat gets quieter. Those sounds get louder. We don't need to hear those sounds louder. We need the heartbeat louder as we keep our ear on Jesus' chest. When people gossip, I want to be so connected that all I hear is the heartbeat. Hey, when people talk off color, I want to be so connected that all I hear is the heartbeat. Hey, when folks want to run down the preacher, I want to be so connected that I don't hear that. All I hear is the heartbeat. Can someone say amen? You know, these voices out here are bad. Voices that says, hey, won't you quit? It's not worth it. Why don't you throw in the towel? Why don't you give up? Nothing seems to work for you. Those voices get louder, and they get louder as we begin to distance ourselves from the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Friend, there must be commitment. Friend, there must be connection. I believe tonight that everybody in this room, from the oldest saint to the youngest saint, to the most holy, to those the least spiritual, I believe everybody in this church has a problem in the flesh with temptation. Temptation's voice comes to everybody. Temptation's voice comes to everybody. I can't stop that voice. I can't stop those sounds. I can't stop that lure. But I can keep my ear connected to the chest of Jesus, and it'll be sure that God will keep me from falling into the snares of Satan through the avenue of temptation. Can the church say amen? Tonight, friends, there must be connection. How do we make connection? We get connected to eternal things like the Bible, eternal things like prayer, eternal things like that goes on in the preaching over at the house of God. Hey, most people, sad to say, they're a lot more connected to Facebook. They're a lot more connected to Twitter and Instagram than they are the chest of Jesus. I'm not against all that. I know some of you is watching through those avenues here tonight. But it's not Facebook that's going to get you where you need to be. And it's not social media that's going to get you where you need to be. You're going to have to make that connection. Get your ear on the chest. One chest, one ear, and that's the chest of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe this is pretty simple, don't you? Gotta be commitment. Can't let nobody get between you and Him. There's gotta be connection. You can't draw back. You can't pull away. When things get tough, just keep your ear on His chest. And that heartbeat will motivate your life to keep going on the godly way and new heights gaining every day. I got to move. I'm trying to move. But not only commitment, not only connection, but please remember, this is a meal setting. There is consumption. They're eating. Man, Baptists know what that is. You can't get around a Baptist but a few minutes, Brother Hollis, and they're talking about food. Man, we're having a great meal today at lunch, and Brother Hollis and Pastor's talking about the next meal. And I thought, we ain't even got this one done yet. Say amen. But that's the way we are. We love to eat, and it's good to have a good appetite. Amen. Thank God for that. But you know something? In this scene, there's consumption. I want you to know tonight, it's important what we consume. It's important what we consume. Think about it. How much pornography would a person watch if they had their ear on the chest of Jesus? How much wicked music would you listen to if you had your ear on the chest of Jesus? How many ungodly movies would you watch if you had your ear on the chest of Jesus? You see, friends, you're not going to do those things when you got Jesus that connected in your life. That's why so many are wandering away from God and the things of God. May the Lord help us tonight that we consume the right things. You know, your pastor has a difficult job. You know what his difficult job is? He's got a lot of jobs. And I'm the pastor's friend. And you ought to want to be the pastor's friend. Amen. He needs to be able to keep confidence that you're behind him and upholding his hands. Can someone say amen right there? We need that at the house of God. Well, your pastor has a job. His job is to preach the word. His job is to feed you. His job is all about consumption. That is what you consume. But Brother Caswell, I believe I'm right. It's hard to feed people that's already full. It's hard to feed people that's already full. Now imagine, maybe Brother Hollis has fixed a pot of oyster stew. Whoop, glory to God. And all that might be waiting out yonder somewhere. There might be a lot of other goodies out there. But you know something? If you and I stop by the candy table, pig out on candy, stop by the ice cream table, pig out on ice cream, stop by the cake table, eat cake, stop by the pie table and eat up pie, then the good food out yonder don't look that good anymore. You know why? Because we done got full of junk. I'm afraid when we come to the house of God, the reason people don't get fed, the reason people don't have consumption at the house of God, it's because they're already full when they get here. Full of the world, full of the flesh, full of the devil, full of gossip, full of bickering, full of backbiting. You know what? We need a good filling, but there's got to be an emptying before there'll ever be a filling. I don't want to fill up on junk. I want to get filled up on the good stuff. Say amen right there. Got to keep moving, man. We're never going to find an end to this. But this simple thought, there's commitment. There's connection. There's consumption. And I dealt with this some last night. In this setting, there's control. If you got your ear on Jesus' chest and you're going to keep it there, and he stands up, guess what you got to do? Stand up. If you're going to keep your ear on Jesus' chest and he starts walking, guess what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to start walking. What I'm saying tonight, if you got your ear on his chest, he'll be the Lord. He'll be in control. Wherever he goes, wherever he stops, wherever he sits, wherever he stands, wherever he lays, you'll be in the control of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, it's sad. People are controlled by family. I got a great wife. I got great children. I got even wonderful little grandchildren. Me and Miss Regina agree. We should have had those grandkids first. Say amen right there. But I love them all so much. But I can't let them grandchildren control my life. I can't let my sons and my daughters-in-law, as good as they may be, I can't let them control my life. and my wonderful helpmeet that God's gave me for 40 years, godly, holy woman. I can't let her control my life. I got to keep my ear on Jesus' chest. And you know, there was an old fellow one night coming one of my meetings. You don't want to mess with my wife. She was with me. And he went up to her and said, "Miss Anderson, how in the world do you stand to listen to your husband preach? Because you live with him." Boy, ain't that something. He shouldn't ask her that. He said, "Sir, let me tell you something. Now my wife's getting ready to step up to the plate. Whoop, and she's fixing to hit a home run." She said, "Sir, the reason I can listen to my husband preach, it is because I live with him. And he tries to live what he preaches." I thought, babe, you hit a home run right there. Wasn't long after that, somebody come to my wife and said, "Hey, how do you like being second place? It's obvious Don puts God first in everything." Boy, she's just in a home run mood. She steps up to the plate again, Brother Hollis, and she says, "Hey, I don't mind being second place to God, because as long as God is number one in Don's life, he'll be the best husband that a wife could have. He'll be the best father that our sons could have." I thought, baby, grand slam again. And how true that is tonight. Does Jesus really control your life? Does Jesus really control your life? We sing songs sometimes, I don't even think we listen to the lyrics. Songs like, "Wherever He leads, I'll go." And then, "Any little thing keep you from the things of God." He's not controlling your life. Everything else controls your life. And I told you last night, if you'll get in the will of God, get on the upward way, take the stairs, let Jesus control your life, I make you a promise by experience. You'll never be sorry. You'll never be sorry for letting Jesus control your life. I want to give you one more tonight because this is important. I want you to turn over just a little ways to the book of John, same book, talking about the same character. In John chapter 21 and in verse number 20, you can see by the space on your page that the Gospel of John is almost over. Do you see that? In verse number 20, man, this thing is almost over. Jesus won't be long now. He'll be ascending back to the Father. Well, this is the third post-resurrection appearance. The third appearance of Jesus to His men after His resurrection. Wonder what's happened to John. Reckon what John's up to, Peyton. I'm talking about Jesus done been to the cross. He's done been to the grave. He's got up from the grave. And here's His third appearance to these disciples. Whew, this is shouting ground for John. In verse number 20, "Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved." Look what he's doing. "Following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?" Tonight, if we're going to put our ear on his chest and hear the heartbeat, there's going to have to be some consistency. John didn't quit when the going got rough. John didn't quit when he walked away from the cross. John didn't quit when he came to the tomb. John, according to the Bible, is still following on. I've met some people in my journey, got on fire for God, and they just kept going on. I think about my dear mama. I remember I was a boy. Mama got on fire for God. She blazed for God. She became a praying champion. I'm talking about a woman of the scripture. And guess how she left this world? She left this world on fire. She left this world consistent. She just kept following to the end. My old dad, very same way. He died. He's in heaven now. Godly man, uneducated, unknown in this world, but well known in the other world. My old dad, he went to a meeting, and I'm looking at history, and I believe your pastor was there at this meeting that my dad attended. Can I testify? My dad went to a Ralph Sexton Senior meeting, the Jubilee, when I was just a boy. And the pastor here went to that meeting. And my dad came back from that meeting. He was already saved. He was already a deacon, Sunday school teacher. He was as good a man as you can find in the church. But something happened to Dad at that meeting. He got filled with the Holy Ghost. He came back on fire for God. He came back with a desire to fast and pray. Now my dad, please, you don't know how much I miss my daddy, but my daddy only had a third grade education, and my dad could barely read. He was almost illiterate, but he came back from that meeting and he told us all, he says, I'm not a good reader. I do the best I can, but I'm going to start reading this Bible through, don't matter how long it takes me to do it. And my dad, he would read the Bible through, simple man, uneducated, couldn't read fast. He'd take his pen. Every time he finished a chapter, I got one of his old Bibles. Every time he finished a chapter, he'd put a mark there. And man, I open up his old Bible and I see all those marks on that chapter. And I say, thank God for my daddy. Thank God he got on fire, but he didn't burn out. And he didn't blow out. And he didn't quit. He just kept following just like John. Well, friends, guess what we all got in common tonight? None of us has crossed the finish line yet. None of us. You might say, man, I'd love to be like him. I'd love to be like her. Well, whoever you're talking about, if they're still alive, they're not across the finish line yet. And what we need to do tonight is we make up our minds. I'm going to be consistent. Can you imagine Don Anderson? Peyton, 59 now, I'm 59. Can you imagine me in the youth choir? I used to sing in the youth choir. I grew up in church. I can remember standing up there and our youth choir leader lead us and a great youth choir song of that day. And Sister Laura, it said this, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. Though no one join me, still I will follow. I have decided to follow Jesus. Friends, I've had regrets and so have you. But I have no regrets in this matter of following Jesus. It's the best thing I've ever done. Get in behind the Lamb of God and let Him lead the way through sunshine and rain, through prosperity and poverty. Just let Jesus lead you all the way. Old John got some stuff done, don't y'all agree? I'm telling you, he got some stuff done. One of the top writers of the Bible. But I believe it had something to do with hearing the heartbeat of the Lamb of God. And you know he didn't quit. He followed on. He was consistent. As we stand tonight with heads bowed, I've poured my heart out to you. I know this ain't been a shouting kind of sermon. But I wonder this evening, should I even have to give an invitation as as the folks are helping me with some music. Pastor's already led the way. How many here in this room tonight say, "Preacher, I want what John had. I want that kind. Oh, I want that kind of commitment. I want that kind of connection. I want that kind of consumption. I want that kind of control. And preacher, I want to get across the finish line consistent. I don't want to be a casualty. I don't want to be a used to be. I don't want to be a has-been." I wonder tonight, would you join these?